have your scripture this morning, your Bible or your smartphone or your tablet or however you access God's word, turn with me to a very familiar passage of scripture in Matthew. All four of the gospel writers spoke of this event, and we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 21, beginning with the first verse. So Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse number 1. This, of course, is Palm Sunday, and I want to preach this morning and speak this morning about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And some people, you know, have said that this triumphant entry ended in tragic defeat. I beg to differ with you. This triumphant entry had its moments that looked as though the enemy had won, but Jesus Christ became the final victor when he rose from the grave at the end of the week. Amen. So Matthew chapter 21, verse number 1, and this is what the scripture says. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them with you. And this was all done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. The prophet would be Zechariah. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes or their robes, and they sat Jesus thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. In other words, visualize this. They placed their robes over the animal, and Jesus is set there. One of the gospel writers tells us that never a man had ever sat on this animal. And then as they set their clothes or their robes on that animal, they put Jesus up on that, and they started down and started to descend the Mount of Olives. And a great multitude, we pick up in verse 8, spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way, laid the branches in the way, made a royal carpet, if you will. And the Bible says, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into the city, into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And a multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Just ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your love and your mercy to us. I thank you this morning, O God, for your blessing and for the presence of your Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt. We come to the reading of your word this morning, and Father, I would ask that you would divinely anoint me for this task of delivering the word of the living God. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you will divinely inspire my thoughts, that you will put your word in my mouth, I readily agree and readily admit that of my own self, I am incapable and inadequate. But if you will touch me, if you will anoint me with your Holy Spirit, and you will give me utterance and give me liberty to speak your word in the house of God, to be a blessing to these, your people, then indeed they will be blessed. Have your way, I pray. Be exalted in our midst. Be preeminent in our midst this morning. Give us liberty in the house of God and life more abundant, I pray. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So this morning I want to talk about the faces in the crowd. The faces in the crowd. In the corridors of your mind this morning, I want you to imagine the scene as it is about to unfold. In context, just days earlier, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. In context, I want you to see just how significant this moment is. Oftentimes, as you read throughout the New Testament, Jesus would do a great work, and then he would tell the recipient of that work to go your way and tell no one. How many of you have read that? There were times that he opened the eyes of the blind and said, don't tell anybody about this. There were times that he cleansed the leper and then he said, go show yourself to the priest and you don't have to mention my name. What I'm saying this morning, there was once a time, you'll find it in the book of John, there was once a time actually when Jesus had preached to them and talked to them, and they were so moved by his words and so moved by the miracle that they seen that they wanted to take him by force and make him their king. And Jesus just quietly slipped off in the crowd. His time had not yet come. This moment had not yet come. He had not been completely revealed to everyone. Amen. But this moment in time was so significant because he was now about to reveal himself as Messiah to everyone that had an understanding of Scripture. So in the theater of your mind this morning, understand that this entrance that he is about to make, the stage is set. He has been placed upon a little donkey, and he is coming into the city of Jerusalem, and there is a great multitude around him. In the theater of your mind, I want you just to imagine the scene as it unfolds. Those that are following him and waving palm branches in the air and shouts of praise are rising. Amen. And there is this great entrance about to be made into the city of Jerusalem. It is an entrance that is filled with significance. It is an entrance that would fulfill ancient prophecy. It was a moment that would be filled with meaning and purpose. You see, 700 years, roughly 700 years before this moment transpired, the prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9, Zechariah said by the inspiration of God, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion is the city of Jerusalem. He said, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king comes. Amen. He comes. comes unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. So let me just tell you this morning that anyone that understood the scripture, that saw this unfold before their eyes, knew that something great was happening in this moment and in this time. Amen. The events that were about to transpire were absolutely no accident. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that this was not a casual occurrence. It was a strategic decision on the part of Jesus to now reveal himself unto everyone. He was completely aware, Jesus was completely aware, that in just a few days he would be crucified and betrayed, and he would hang upon a cruel wooden cross for you and I. I don't know about you, but if I knew that was ahead, I might go the other way. Hello? But he meets it head on because he knows that this is the Father's plan and that this is the Father's will. Understand this morning that Jesus was not coming as a political king, but he was coming as a spiritual king. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? Those that were there that day, many of them anticipated that when the Messiah would come, that he would release them from Roman captivity. It had happened before in Jewish history. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in Egypt's bondage and God sent Moses to them? If you are a historian of the Old Testament text, you will also remember that there was a time when the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity, and God said, you're only going to be there for 70 years, and after that, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to bring you out. And he did. And now the people were looking for a political king that would set them free from Roman captivity. But I want you to understand this morning, Jesus had a much larger plan in mind. He was not coming to be a political king and just release the Jews from Roman captivity. No, he was about to set up a spiritual kingdom that would deliver Jew and Gentile, amen, male and female, and everyone that would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming to release them from their bondage of sin. I personally this morning am glad that he did not get caught up in all of the fervor of the moment, because he could have released them from Roman captivity should he so desire. He had the power to do so, but he came to work the plan of God. He came to work the plan of God. It is essential for us this morning to understand that these events take place at the same time or the week of the Passover. Because it was this point and time that the children of Israel were commanded in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 3 that each family would set aside a lamb to observe the Passover toward the end of the week. They would take a lamb and they would set that lamb aside. And for the course of that week, they would examine that lamb to find out if there was any flaw in it that would keep it from being their Passover sacrifice. The Passover lamb had to be absolutely perfect. Amen. And so they would, at the beginning of this, on this day, all of the Jewish nation was setting aside a lamb. They would tether that lamb, and for 1 week they would examine it and look it over and to see if they could find any fault in it. If there was one fault, it had to be called out, and there would have to be another lamb chosen. It is in that same context that Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, our Passover Lamb, came riding into town. And he would be in the temple all week long, answering questions and explaining doctrine. And what I'm saying this morning is that the spiritual religious leaders of that day would examine him. They were testing him. They were trying to find out if there was any kind of fault in him. And I'm here to tell you this morning that they could not find any fault in our Lamb. Amen. They could not find any fault in our Lamb. On that same day, our Passover Lamb, Jesus rides into town. And as he rides into town, into the city of Jerusalem, there would be about 2 or 2.5 million people that had flooded the streets of that city. Jerusalem was a hustle, if you will. Amen. There was so much that was going on. People had come from the region round about to celebrate the Passover. And it is in that moment and in that time that Jesus comes into the picture. Garments are spread. Garments are spread on the ground as he ascends or descends, if you will, the Mount of Olives upon that donkey. People begin to shout and lift up words of praise. Palm branches are cut down and people are waving the branches in the air, and in the air shouts of praise and worship begin to go up and people begin to cry, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Many in their mind are thinking that he is coming to deliver them from Roman bondage, but he's coming to deliver them from their sin. He's coming to set them free from the bondage of their own sin. Garments are spread in the way. Shouts of praise begin to arise. And let me just tell you this morning that anyone that understood or knew the scriptures, anyone that understood the symbolic significance of this moment, even understood that Jesus was openly declaring that he was the Messiah, that he was Yahshua HaMashiach, that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of God sent to deliver mankind. Anybody that understood the Old Testament and gave it half a chance in their life, who didn't have their own agenda, would have to acknowledge, I understand what he's saying. He's saying that he is the Messiah. He's saying that he is the Savior. He's saying this is the fulfillment of Zechariah 9 and 9. And let me just point out to you this morning, I have no doubt in my mind that many of us that are sitting here in this church this morning are familiar with these verses. We're familiar with the story. We're familiar with the setting. And I can't tell you even how many times that I have read it for myself. But as I begin to prepare for this service, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and began to reveal something to me that I had not yet seen before. Yeah. I want you to key in this morning on verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10 that the whole city was moved, saying, who is this? The whole city was asking the same question, who is this? I said, okay, Lord, I understand they're asking, who is this? They're all asking the same question. And as I begin to pray and study and look at this, the Holy Spirit began to show me different faces in the crowd. All asking the same question, but different faces asking the same question with a different purpose or in a different manner. And the Lord began to reveal to me, there are three very specific types of individuals in this crowd, in this multitude that was there that day. You may be thinking, Pastor Gary, I'm not sure what you mean. In order for me to enter into this text and for you to understand what I'm trying to say is I want you to use your imagination for a moment and just a little bit imagine the tone of voice. They're all asking the same question, but with what tone of voice? How many of you know you can tell a lot by the tone of someone's voice? You can tell a lot about what someone is thinking in the way that they ask the question, right? And you can all ask basically the same question, but you can have different motive behind the question. And there are three very specific individuals that I see here in our text. Three very different kinds of or categories of people, all asking the same question, but it comes down to how they ask or with what tone they ask or what the perceived question was proposed. And I want to show you those three with those three faces in the crowd this morning. And I want you to consider with me those three different questions or those three different inquiries. Number one, the first face in the crowd or the first group that is asking the question when Jesus came into town or the first face that was in that crowd this morning are those that looked upon him with disgust and disdain. They looked upon him in an attitude of hatred. They looked upon him in an attitude of disgust. And they asked the question, who is this? But they ask it in such a manner that they are like, who is this? Who does he think he is? Do you have scripture to back that up? I do. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 39. While all of this was going on and Jesus is coming into town and the people are hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest and glory to the Lord or glory to he that comes in the name of the Lord. The Pharisees and the scribes were looking on and they said, why don't you tell your disciples to be quiet? Don't you hear what they say? Cause your disciples to be silent. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 39, the Bible says, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. Do you think they ask in a kind way? No, I think it came across more like, Master, rebuke your disciples for crying out loud. Don't you hear what they are saying? Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Who do you think you are that you are going to let them say that kind of thing to you? And you know what Jesus says? He says, amen. Jesus answered them and said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, that the stones would immediately cry out to me. But what I'm pointing out this morning is the fact that the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious elite, they looked upon him with disgust and disdain. The faces in the crowd were full of, those faces in the crowd were full of indignation and they were filled with envy and they were filled with hatred. And I can hear them asking, who does he think he is? There is a note of disdain upon their lips. They ask with a tone of contempt and scorn and they ask with an attitude of disrespect and disapproval and they ask, who is this? Who does he think he is? Who does he make himself to be? Isn't this Joseph, the son of a carpenter? Isn't this the country bumpkin out of Nazareth? Then who in the world does he think he is? They're all asking the same question, but they're asking it in a different way. Who does he think he is? Who is this? Remember when Nathanael went to Philip and said, I want you to meet Jesus. And Nathanael said, who is this Jesus and where is he from? And Philip said, he's from Nazareth. And Philip said in John 1:46, he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Hello? Amen. Jesus wasn't dressed in the latest fashion. He didn't come rolling into town in some kind of TMZ swagger. He didn't come, dressed in royal clothing. He didn't come with a crown on his head. He came in common clothes. And worse yet, he came riding not on a white stallion, but he came riding on a little old donkey. Roman conquerors, when they would have great exploits, they would come riding into the city on a white stallion so that they could take, all of the accolades and all of the great, hoorah on themselves about what they had done. Jesus didn't come that way. He came riding on the little colt. He came riding on a little lowly animal. Amen. He came not as some kind of bigwig, but he came lowly and just like the prophet had said. Not everyone there on that Palm Sunday was waving palms. Not everyone was shouting Hosanna. Not everyone was saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Not everyone was pleased with his entrance. We have those same people among us today. This people, these faces who were in this crowd, they hated him. They despised him. They hated him because he didn't do it the way they did it. They hated him because his word cut to the very heart of the matter. They hated him because he told them that they were a bunch of vipers and that they were whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. They hated him because he told them that they were a bunch of hypocrites. He told them that they were sinful and they were vile and they were so full of pride and so full of themselves that they couldn't even realize that he was right. We still have these same faces in the crowd. There are those in the world that hate the church and hate everything that it stands for. They despise or disdain God. They despise or disdain his Christ. They hate all that we stand for, and they are asking the same question. Who is this man called Jesus that I should surrender my life to him? But they ask with disrespect, and they ask with disdain, and they have no regard for all that is moral and good. Those kind of individuals are among us in the world. Don't fool yourself. Not everybody loves Jesus. Hello? Don't fool yourself. Not everybody loves the church. Don't fool yourself. Not everybody is willing to submit to the Lord. There are those that despise him, and because we serve him, they despise us. And I will just tell you right up front, I will gladly wear that burden anytime, anywhere, any day, because I belong to him. Amen. So the faces in the crowd faces those that looked upon him with disdain. Number two, the second face in the crowd that when Jesus came into town that day asking who is this, were those that were genuinely sincere and had a genuine inquiry about who he was. Who is this? There were those that were come from miles around into the city of Jerusalem. They come from every region. And no doubt in my mind, there were some folks who were there that had no idea who Jesus was. But they were asking from the perspective of somebody, tell me more. Somebody tell me more about this guy. Obviously, something must be up. Who could draw such a crowd? Who could draw such kind of a crowd? And they were asking with the attitude of an open mind, saying, somebody tell me more. Somebody tell me more. I want to know what's going on. I genuinely want to know who this guy really is. I haven't seen anybody else coming into Jerusalem with that kind of fanfare. Something must be up. Something must be up. They may not have known who Jesus was, but it was obvious that others did. And this group of people must have been thinking, who is this man that could draw this kind of a crowd? Who is this man that they would remove their coats and lie them on the ground so his little donkey could ride across their garments? Who is this man that they would wave palm branches and shout such accolades and such words of praise? Who is this man? None of the Roman temple priests have got this kind of reception. Pilate hasn't got this kind of reception. Who in the world is this guy? Somebody tell me more. I know, I have no doubt they were impressed at the sight that they were seeing. They were impressed that one man could cause such a commotion. And when they ask with an inquisitive, who is this guy? Who is this man? Who is this man inquiring, saying, I want to know more? Beloved, we have those kinds of people in our world today as well. There are those that maybe they have heard about Christ, but they do not know him for themselves. And yet they are open-minded and they are hungry to know. They may know about him, but they do not know him in his saving grace and in his saving power. Let me just tell you something this morning. It is one thing to know about Jesus, and it's a whole nother story, amen, to know Jesus. I invite you this morning, if you just know about him, get acquainted and get to know him. He'll blow your mind. Amen, amen. I know there must be something to this man called Jesus. Amen. Those around us this morning who are saying, I know that there must be something about this Jesus, because kingdoms have risen and fallen. Ideologies and philosophies have come and gone. And what is in fashion today is out of fashion tomorrow. But despite all of that, people are still lifting up the name of Jesus and still proclaiming his message. Amen. Who is this man that is able to remain relevant century after century? Do you realize that your Holy Bible is the number one best-selling book of all time? Amen. Other books have been written and they have a very short shelf life. But that word of God, amen, that Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. That is the number one best-selling book of all time, and rightly so, because it is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There were those in that day that said, who is this man who could take a group of fishermen from Capernaum, Peter, James, and John, and transform them in such a radical way that they would become fishers of men? Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man that could take a Pharisee by the name of Saul, amen, who was a proponent or an opponent of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in one single encounter on the Damascus Road, turn him around in such a way that he writes over half of the New Testament? Who is this man? His name is Jesus. Beloved, there were those there that day that asked the same question with a voice of disdain. Who is this? Who does he think he is? But there were those that were genuinely open and genuinely concerned and genuinely wanted to inquire more and said, who is this? Who is this? Who is this man? They're all asking the same question, but they're asking from a different perspective. Face number three in the crowd is a group of people that were in the crowd that were asking, they were asking, who is this man? And they are asking from a perspective of awe. They are astounded at him. They are astounded at him. They are asking, who is this question or who is this man? But the question is being asked from a perspective of adoration and admiration and awe. Do you remember when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee? The Bible tells the story in the book of Mark in the 5th chapter. They are out on the Sea of Galilee and suddenly there arises a great storm. And Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And the disciples have bailed water and they feel like they are about to go under. And so finally they wake Jesus up and said, Lord, do you not care that we perish? And you know what Jesus does? The Bible said that he arose and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And the wind ceased and the waves became calm with three little words, peace, be still. And the disciples, the Bible says, looked at each other. And this is what they said. What manner of man is this? Who is this guy? Who in the world is this man? These disciples on this Palm Sunday, as Jesus came into the city, they were asking the same question, but they are asking with an awe in their heart. They are asking with an adoration. Oh, who is this man? Who is this king that would come to bring me salvation? They are asking in a voice of awe. Amen. We have this morning in this crowd, those that ask, these were the same people that watched Jesus work miracle after miracle. They had heard him teach and they had heard him preach. They saw him when he turned the water into wine. They knew that he had walked on water. They knew that he had opened the eyes of the blind. They knew that he had made the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and that he had raised the dead. And they are asking, oh my God, who in the world is this man? What manner of man is this? They knew that he was Messiah. They knew that he was Lord. They had seen too many miracles to doubt it. And when they are coming into the city, they couldn't help but just lift their voice and holler, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Shouts of praise and shouts of adoration began to come from these faces in the crowd. There is an old hymn this morning that declares, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And I just want to tell you this morning, there are some of those folks that are with us today as well. Hello? Somebody said, well, preacher, you sure do get excited. You come too late to tell me that it ain't real. You come too late to tell me that it's just a bunch of emotion. You come too late to tell me, amen, that it, you don't have to get that excited. You come too late to tell me, amen, that it really isn't real. I came to this morning to tell somebody I've experienced it for myself. He is life-changing. He is life-changing, and he is life-giving, and he'll turn you inside out. Hallelujah. There are a group of people this morning that have had a life-changing experience with the Son of God. There are a group of people this morning that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There are a people this morning that stand in awe of His grace. There are a people this morning that stand in awe of His mercy and His long-suffering and His goodness. And I am one of that crowd. Amen. And when I think of all that the Lord has done for me, I can't help but holler, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hey, let me just tell you, if it had not been for the Lord, I might not even be here today. But oh, thank God, he washed me and cleansed me, forgave me of my past, and secured my future, and put my feet on a solid rock of his salvation, and I have been redeemed. Another old chorus or another old hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And the course begins, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking. I came to tell somebody today, he is real and he wants to make himself real to you in your life. Hallelujah. Who is this man? Those three faces are in the world today. There are those that ask with an attitude of disdain and disgust, who is this man that he thinks he can have control of my life? Who is this man that wants me to live and submit my life to him? Who is this man? Amen. Those that ask that question with disdain and with disgust toward Christ, they will one day bow at him. They will one day bow in his presence and declare, he is Lord. There are those this morning that ask with a simple inquiry. I want to know more about him. Tell me more. Tell me more. Let me just tell you, if that's you this morning, you would do well to educate yourself as to who Jesus really is. Amen. Because the more you know about him and the more you understand who he is, the easier that it is to submit to his will. And there are those this morning that ask from the place of awe, the place of adoration. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for me? Who am I that he would even care about who I am? The God of the universe, the God of all creation, who am I that he would know the very number of the hairs of my head? Who am I that he would take such interest in me? And because those are truths, I can't help but stand in awe of him. I can't help but stand in awe and in humble adoration for him. The question this morning, this Palm Sunday, is the same question that was asked so many years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago. Who is this man? And let me just tell you this morning, it is a question that every single one of us must answer. It was not just a question nearly 2,000 years ago today, But it is the same question that's being asked right now, even by the Holy Spirit in this place. Who is this man? You have to make the decision. You have to decide who he is to you. Is he someone that you disdain? Is he someone that you rebel against? Is he someone that you genuinely want to know more about? Or maybe he is someone that you simply stand in awe of because he has been so gracious to you. Who is this man? I asked this question this morning. Is he just a historical figure? Was he just a good man? Was he just a prophet or a teacher? Or is he your Savior and your Lord? Who is this man? Peter answered the question. Peter said, I'll tell you who you are. Jesus asked them one day, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, I'll tell you who you are. Amen. Peter got a revelation from God. He said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one of God. Thou art the Messiah. Amen. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, what I'm telling you this morning is when God gives you a revelation of who he is, amen, you can't help but holler, amen, glory to God and Hosanna in the highest, and lift up your praise unto him. He is this morning the Son of the living God. He is the architect of all creation. He is the victor this morning over sin, over hell, and over death. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is God the Son. He is, the Bible said, wonderful. He is, the Bible said, counselor. The Bible said that he is the mighty God. The Bible said that he is the beautiful rose of Sharon. And he is the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star. The Bible said that he is the fairest of 10,000, and he is the pearl of great price. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is he which was, which is, and which is to come. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is this morning the great I Am in the flesh. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Who is this man? He is my best friend. The Bible said that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's my Jesus. He is my counselor. He is my wonderful companion. He is my friend. He is my redeemer. He is my savior. He is my salvation. And he is my soon coming king. Who is he to you this morning? The question that must be answered, who is this? Who is this man? Caesar is dead and forgotten, but Jesus is still alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father. Hallelujah. The high priest Caiaphas is nothing more, the one that schemed to kill him. Caiaphas is nothing more than a short historical footnote in the pages of history, but Jesus is still alive. Amen. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Pontius Pilate washed his hands of him, but he washed my sins away. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is Lord of past, present, and future. He is the Lord of the living and the dead. He is the Lord that is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He is all in all. Yes. Who is he to you this morning? Bow your heads all over the building. Three faces in the crowd. Those that ask with disgust, those that ask with genuine interest, and those that knew what he was and who he was and what he had done. Those same types of people are with us today. Who are you? Which face are you in the crowd? Which face are you in the crowd? This morning, the Holy Spirit is asking you to answer that question. Who is this man? Who is he to you? Who is he to you? For some of the young people, they may say, well, that's my mom and dad's God. That's my mom and dad. No, you got to know him for yourself. Hey, that's my wife's religion. That's my wife's Jesus. No, you got to know him for yourself. He's asking you, who am I to you? Who am I to you? I say to you this morning, don't be as the scribes and the Pharisees and stand afar off and look with disdain toward him. Don't be as those who were just genuinely curious. But find out for yourself by inviting him into your heart and into your spirit today. Tell him, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I realize, I recognize, I am not good enough in myself, nor will I ever be good enough in myself. I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. I need someone to be my advocate. I need someone to be my representative before God the Father. I choose you. I choose you. I stand in awe of your mercy and your grace and your love. Touch my heart and my life, and don't let me leave here the same. If we've already made that confession to him, then we ought to just in awe offer him our hosanna and our praise for who he is to us. I ask you to stand to your feet all over the building, and I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I'm one of the faces in the crowd. I'm one of those faces in the crowd. God sees your hands. God sees your hands. Would you do me one request this morning? Would you slip up both of your hands right toward heaven as a sign of surrender toward God? Houston is going to lead us in worship, lead us in a song of praise. And I pray this morning that you will just slip up both of your hands and that you will begin to honor the Lord and begin to magnify the Lord. Give him hosanna in the highest. Give him blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Be one of those in the crowd this morning that honor him with your praise, with your humble adoration. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Father, we worship you and we magnify you and we glorify your holy, holy name. Lord, make us one of the faces in the crowd that give you praise. Amen, amen, amen. Come into our hearts here.